Start your engines and join me in the new mobile game, RuPaul's Drag Race Superstar. May the best superstar win. Available now.
In a world full of straight people, aren't you glad there's WOW Presents Plus, the number one place in the world to see Drag Race? And so much more. Subscribe to WOW Presents Plus. Still only $4.99. Subscribe today as streamed on TV.
I'm Matt McConkie. I'm a writer, performer, and host of this podcast about And Just Like That. But now that we've recapped both seasons of the show, I couldn't help but wonder, should I go back and cover the original Sex and the City? The answer, of course, is no, but I can't be stopped, so every week I'll be joined by my very own Mirandas and Charlottes to unpack an episode or movie of their choosing. We're doing Sex and the City Roulette with extra Samantha and none of the Che. And just like Matt, welcome to the show. Hi, everybody. Today we are going to be strutting down memory lane through another classic episode of Sex and the City. It's season 4, episode 2. It's called The Real Me. And HBO's logline for the episode is, Carrie's insecurities are put to the test. Meanwhile, Samantha has sexy pictures taken so she can remember herself as a hot chick. Also, Charlotte deals with a gynecological problem. In other words, it's the one where Carrie becomes fashion roadkill. But I am not walking down this runway alone. This episode was recorded on the corner of right now, and everyone was there because it really is the place to see and be seen. I am joined by two true VIPs. The first one is a returning favorite. You've seen her on Black Monday, Glow, and Heathers. She and Emily Foster have a profoundly important Substack you must subscribe to called How to Be Less Old. And it is too bad it's an audio medium because she's giving fresh, she's giving dewy, and she's always giving hair first. Deanna Chang, welcome back.
Good to be here, Matt. Hi, Teddy. It's a pleasure. I feel safe. I feel held. I feel ready and excited.
As do we all. And let me introduce our next guest. He's an actor you've seen on The Flash and Chicago Fire, American Horror Story. You will soon see him as one of the leads on a show called Dr. Wolf coming to NBC, which happens to be created by someone I am married to. But even more important than that, he was also an extra in this episode of Sex and the City we're going to discuss. The fashion show guy himself, Teddy Sears.
Fashion show guy. That's funny because that was literally the first credit I ever had on my resume was fashion show guy because I needed something. I'm new to New York.
I needed
a line on my resume. And so I was there and I just, you know, and I don't think I've taken it off actually, Matt. So thanks for the reminder.
Oh, nor should you.
Well,
take us back to that moment in what was obviously a long career after that. But, you know, it was the very early aughts. You're a young actor in New York looking for his big break. Take us inside that moment in time in the Teddy Sears origin story. Like, were you waiting tables? Did you do a lot of extra work to pay the bills?
I got to New York in November of 2000. We shot this, I want to say it was February of 2001. Like you said, I'm new. I'm just trying to sort of piece together an existence. I live with three other guys in a very illegal sort of situation on 24th and 3rd. And weirdly, a friend's girlfriend's friend was like, they're doing a big open casting for extras for this next episode of Sex and the City. Mm. They need a lot of people. Do you want to do it? I gave them what was a headshot at the time was like just a shitty Polaroid I had. Like I had nothing, guys. And so that got passed to the right person and they said, sure. And I'm sure they just did it because again, I don't remember, but like a friend was dating this person or they were doing a favor to a friend. So, and to your question about, did I do a lot of extra work? I did 2 days of extra work total. They were both on this episode of Sex and the City.
Wow.
And the last day I worked was like, we'll talk about it, but it was like such a long day. And I remember getting my paycheck like a week or two later, and it was such a shitty amount of money
to interrupt. Someone just popped into the frame.
I know. Look at that gorgeous
man. I've already heard this story, but I just wanted to say hi.
Hey, Michael. How are you, man?
He knows this story.
And the paycheck was so low. And, you know, like extras weren't treated that well back then. I'm like, I don't want to do this, man. This is so silly. And I didn't want to be thought of sort of more to the point. I didn't want to be thought of as an extra. I wanted to be in front of the camera. Like, you know, I didn't want to like be in people's minds. I was like, oh, we need an extra. Let's call this guy. So that was it. 2 days and I was done.
Well, do we have some more to talk about in the realm of extra work? We're going to table that for now. But when the opportunity came your way, were you already a fan of Sex and the City?
What I knew about it was that it was a wildly popular show. I don't think, I mean, the place I'd moved into had cable. I don't know if I'd ever seen an episode. This is sort of how it wasn't like really looming large in my sort of personal fandom. But I, like I said, I was new to New York, and I think you couldn't escape being in New York. This, you know, 2000, 2001, there weren't that many shows going. You know, the Law and Orders were going, Sopranos was going, Sex and City was going, but like there wasn't a ton to do there. Mm-hmm. But this series like just loomed so large in the sort of, I don't know, actor world. And by the way, I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I mean, so I just wanted to work. I needed to pay my rent. Like I was kind of doing whatever I could to piece it together.
Yeah.
And so this was another opportunity. And it was in this world I was really curious about. Like, by the way, a month earlier, I'd done my first ever job, but it wasn't on my resume yet, but it was like a two-liner on One Life to Live as like shirtless bartender named Chad for the Valentine's episode. And so like, I was like, oh, this is really, really fun. Like, I really, really like this world. This is maybe something I want to do. And extra work on camera. I didn't know the difference. I was like, yes, I want to work. I want to do this. And so anyway, I learned that it's not exactly what I wanted to do, but I have so many good memories of, and when I watched the episode, I was watching it last night with my wife and so much came back to me that I forgot that I just can't wait to talk.
All right. Well, we're going to get into all of it. I also should mention, by the way, it just occurred to me as you were talking and saying you weren't, you know, already a fan of Sex and the City, that you are our first ever straight male guest on this show.
Really?
Is, you know, that this is a yes,
it's
this
a first,
is
it's a first,
you
folks.
Know, yeah, he's one of the great allies, folks. Teddy Sears. Deanna, you know, one thing that I don't think I asked you when you were on the show before is just a question as old as time, which is just a straight up: are you a Carrie or a Miranda or a what have you?
Yeah, it's so funny. You do ask everybody that, and I'm always fascinated with people's answers. And I wonder to myself, what am I? And I never get very far.
You don't have an answer.
I mean, my hair is giving Carrie right now. Carrie. So that's helpful. I have a longer face. So just those two things alone, we're aligned, you know?
Do you like to keep your money where you can see it in your closet? That's
no,
the question.
No, my money is very much outside of my closet. So there's that. But,
that's
you know,
Miranda.
Yeah, I don't actually think I'm any of them. What do you think, Matt? I don't have a sense of
it's
it.
It's interesting. I don't know. You defy categorization. You might be our first person who truly defies categorization. I think you're probably closest to Carrie.
I think so.
It's like there's the artist's sensibility. There's the iconic blonde hair.
Right.
There's, you know, there's a lot. Gosh, I'll have to pray.
Yeah,
on
we'll
that.
Have to do some work around it. I think that the true answer is I may not fit into this group in a way. I might not have a category.
We talked recently about that episode where Carrie doesn't have enough money to buy her apartment and Charlotte eventually gives her her engagement ring to help her get the money. That one always strikes a nerve because it's such a relatable topic because sometimes that paycheck just doesn't seem to come quick enough. But look, life doesn't happen biweekly, so why should payday? The money you earn can be in your hands today with Earnin. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app, you verify your paycheck, then you access up to $100 a day as you work, leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I know I've got my husband's birthday coming up. I want to give him a nice gift. He's a man who likes the nicer things in life. So that's certainly how I would use the extra money I'd get from Earnin. Download Earnin today. It's EARNIN in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Just Like Matt under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. That's Just Like Matt under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. If you've ever listened to this podcast, you know I'm a huge fan of therapy. It's a big part of my life. Therapy is where I process a lot of the things that we talk about on this podcast. You know, stress about aging or career or navigating a breakup, whether it be romantic or an issue with friends. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Another reason I love therapy is that it helps me to recharge my social battery, especially as we're ramping up for summer. We're all going to be seeing a lot more friends and family. Some of us have, some introverted tendencies. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/likematt today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/likematt. What both of you are like breaking new ground on this show in different ways. So we have a straight man and we have someone who can't define herself as one of the four. This is huge.
Yeah.
So this episode, we kick it off in Brasserie 8.5 and Carrie's having drinks with Stanford. And then fashion show producer Lynn Cameron, played by the amazing Margaret Cho, comes in and she asks Carrie to be in her fashion show. And, you know, it's a mix of models and real people. And then, of course, Carrie goes on to discuss this at brunch with the girls. But Teddy, you informed me that you are not just the fashion show guy. You are also in Brasserie 8.5. You managed to cast yourself twice.
Yeah, very weirdly, the episode opens. I mean, it's a gorgeous shot, right? They start on the ceiling. They're kind of twisting, twirling down, directed by MPK, I think, right?
Yeah.
And then they follow two, sort of creatures of the night down the stairs. And it's a tall woman. And then it's me. I'm very much blocked by her, but I do my best to sort of make sure the camera sort of tries to catch a piece of my schnoz. I'm wearing ridiculous red aviators that I know I bought at Ricky's on 8th Street because I also remember buying a red pleather coat, which
amazing.
I'm sure it was, by the way, the coat was $50. I don't know why I remember that. It was, this is a steal. It's $50 and it's a red pleather coat. Shocker that they didn't choose that to appear in the episode. But yeah, the whatever, we're walking down the stairs. The camera sort of follows, people arriving and it takes us to the bar where we find, Stanford and Carrie, having their conversation. And then Margaret Cho shows up, and that was so cool. I remember how quiet it was, like when we shot it. Mm-hmm. And we have to act like, it's a booming place. And of course, when you watch it back, there's music and it's like, it's a very sort of up tempo kind of lively place. But, this is one thing I learned by doing extra work, the music's not there. I will say when we get to the fashion show though, the music very much was pumping when the models were walking.
But, interesting.
But when we shot, of course, because of dialogue and everything, there was nothing. So yeah.
Wow.
This is right, guys. This is like watching it back. I knew half of the lines just at the ready, had them, was spitting them in unison. But this goes down as one of the most iconic episodes of all time.
Truly.
Right?
I mean, I completely agree with you. It's fabulous.
Epic. It's
so good. And the people who show up in the episode.
Epic.
Like I don't even want to call them cameos, but like when Samantha gets sexy pictures taken, there's a photographer named Jeff Forney. And weirdly, a friend, this is so weird, guys, like a friend that I know from Washington, D.C., where I grew up, she like was high school friends with Jeff Forney, who played the photographer. So when she would come to town, we'd go to his apartment. I was like, oh, you're the photographer on the day. His assistant, Tiger, is played by Tony Hale.
Tony Hale.
Who I remember back then.
One of the greats.
He was like in every other TV commercial. I don't know if you remember, around 2000. Like this guy kept showing up. And then, of course, he's Tony Hale. He's fantastic. Alan Cumming. I mean, we can just go. We'll go on and on. But
it
truly is, Deanna. Like, Ed Koch.
Kevin
O'Connor. Truly is one of the best episodes. Yes, and Orlando Pita. Yeah. And we could, Heidi Klum. It's crazy.
It's a murderer's row.
It's a bananas episode. And
yeah,
that whole thing was just so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
The concept. Yeah.
And it says so much. Tony Hale has, I think, one line, you know, and he's in the scene when Samantha's doing her nude photo shoot. And it's absolutely unforgettable. Yep. He steals the entire scene with just one line in his reaction because he's just such a star. Yeah. Also looks exactly the same.
Oh, 100%. Exactly the same. Completely agree. 20 odd years later. And you're right. He does steal the
scene. As does Teddy Sears.
Oh boy. No, blink and you'll miss. No. I mean, seriously, I'm one, especially when we get to the fact, and even a Brasserie 8.5, I'm one of like, you know, many dozens of faces there. But thank you, Matt. That was a very nice attempt to compare me to Tony Hale. It's not going to happen.
Simply true. Yeah. It's simply true. You know what struck me watching this is like the first girls brunch scene when she's like, I can't believe they want me to be a model, you know, and we get that she's, you know, she's insecure and she feels unworthy. And I remember watching this and being like, oh, wait, sorry, Carrie doesn't think she's beautiful. And it was like a wake up call to me. But it's, you know, it is relatable. I mean, Sarah Jessica Parker is obviously stunning and like is a model in many ways.
Yeah.
So I'm not comparing myself to her. But like, we are all very hard on ourselves about the way we look. I futzed with a shitty ring light for 10 minutes before you all got on here and it did nothing for me. But, you know, the episode is called The Real Me. So I'd like for both of you to be real with me about this. You're both actors. You're both obviously runway ready. But Deanna, talk to me about your efforts to do what you do without letting our culture's obsession with beauty standards, you know, eat you alive.
Oh, Lord. Woo! Okay. How do I not allow the man to try to keep me down with the standards?
Yeah.
I am in a great place right now. And I think there's times where, you know, you're changing, you're aging, and it's an adjustment. But then you switch into a new gear, you know, and you're like, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty damn good. And that's where I am right now. So I don't know if
that's a good place
to be. I'm doing the things, but not all the things. I'm just keeping it as natural as possible with, you know, my little red lights and my zappers at home. But I do what I do, but God, I feel great. You know, I'm in a really good space. A good space. And I think when you're younger, you definitely have the weight of, at least I can speak for myself, of, you know, how am I comparing to everybody else? What do I look like? You don't know who you are as much. So that insecurity is there. And I think you can get older and you can run with another, you know, host of insecurities. So it's kind of just keeping, I don't know, in your lane and feeling good as yourself.
Well said. Teddy, give us the rare straight male perspective on this. As I said, I mean, you look just like you did when you shot this 24 years ago, or however long it was. But is like vanity something you've had to battle with?
Yeah, sure. Especially in a profession that's, you know, it's a visual medium, right? TV. So there's there's just more time spent watching back auditions or, you know, more conscious of the changes, I guess I'd say. But listen, we just had a son. The things that matter end up really mattering. The things that don't, where you don't have time or energy or efficiencies to get done, like they just, for me, have started to fall by the wayside. And a little bit of that is like, I've never really had any kind of like a beauty regimen or routine. So nothing much has changed there, but just like sweating the small stuff. Like I'm getting older, that certain things aren't going to look the way they once looked. And to the degree that I can do something about it, maybe I will. Guys, I'm just so fucking tired. and I do have a little bit of a luxury of like, I've always wanted to have like crow's feet. I've always wanted to have like grooves in my face. So to see those sorts of things show up in my face, I'm like, okay, cool. Of course, there's a worry like, oh, is this going to prevent me from getting hired? Like, and then there's that comparison is the thief of joy stuff, you know? It's like, well, and then it's like, well, fuck it, man. Like if they want someone who looks like that, they're going to go get someone who looks like that. And also the stuff though, that makes it worthy or watchable is all the imperfections and all the stuff that's coming from the inside and going out, like the messiness, the vulnerability, the truth, the real me, if we're going to use the title. So yeah. I just try to give up the sort of the mental spinning and lean into just, you know, whatever the internal sort of confidence that you get from just, you know, Deanna, I'm sure you can attest to just surviving this long in this field. And, you know, I don't know, just trusting that the good shit's in there. And yeah, we're all going to get older. So whatever, wash your face and put the masks on, whatever. Like do those things, I guess. But I should practice what I preach. I really don't do. But now, listen, Dr. Wolf is starting, so I might have to start thinking about those types of things.
Listen, you obviously got hired on that crow's feet and all. These are the things that serve you now. Yeah, that's and yes, that is male privilege you're talking about.
Yeah,
right there,
I've never. I'm trying to think. Like, have I heard a woman ever say, looking forward to, can't wait to settle into some crow's feet?
Right.
You know,
you're not going to hear that too often.
I mean, the only person I can think of on this that I can imagine who was like, get me into them crow's feet is Frances McDormand. Like, I think she's been cool with them. Right. She's been like, feel better with the crows, you know?
I think when she was one of those people, when she was in high school, she was like, I don't make sense as a teenager. I need to be in my 50s now.
Yeah, like we got to weather this space
up
so that I make sense.
Yeah, right.
She has that amazing scene in the documentary about Searching for Deborah Winger, where Rosanna Arquette like accosts her in a women's bathroom to just like get a moment with her on camera. And Frances McDormand does like a whole monologue about why actresses shouldn't mess with their faces because we're not going to have anybody who can tell age appropriate stories as everybody gets older, because no one's going to look their age anymore. Having said that, you know, I'm going to be getting a full yank as soon as time permits.
That's really funny. That's really funny. Yeah. That was, I don't know when that was. Was that 30 years ago? But she was really announcing who she was. She knew exactly who she was or wanted to be in that doc. Right. Yeah. If she's a can or something, but you're right. There's that moment where she ran into her in the bathroom and clearly like waved over the camera person and was like, listen, get this. Like I got 2 minutes with her, you know?
Yeah.
Let's talk about what the other three girls are doing while Carrie's on this fashion show journey. Cause they're all on their own, you know, their parallel journeys when it comes to like seeing themselves clearly. Like Miranda's surprised when the hot guy at Crunch asks her out. Samantha's getting the nude photos taken. Charlotte's vagina is depressed. Thoughts on those storylines?
I mean, I guess I never considered the title, you know, applying to everyone else's storylines until just a moment ago, where like Samantha wants to show her real self, you know, and who as the you know, as an audience, we've come to know her as, like by taking these pictures. And of course, there's that wonderful sort of exchange that Miranda has with the guy from Crunch, where like he just finds her so sexy as she is. And then she's so confident. She's like, she's wearing her black dress and she's she's like really feeling herself, you know, like, cause she is a confident, and she's announcing all these truths. Like, I love my life. I love my job, all these things. And it's a turnoff to him. And I, you know, so who is the, I don't know. I mean, I guess that's the real Miranda, but so the real Miranda is also one who she has a phone call with Carrie and says something like, I was in my $3 like old man t-shirt and I don't know, my sweatpants or something. And he found me sexy. So yeah, that's the real her too. My take on the storylines is everyone is sort of trying to, it's what we all do. We're like, this is me, right? Right. And then we sort of check in with ourselves and like, oh, maybe I'm a little bit off to the right. Maybe I need to sort of like get back to the middle of the road. Or maybe I just sort of went off the path a little bit this way. Maybe I need to sort of, you know, am I this or am I that? And we all go through that. And I feel like the girls at this point are in their mid-30s-ish. Like, I mean, who didn't? Especially, you know, as we're all sort of trying to come up and sort of find ourselves professionally and personally. Be like, this is me, or this is me tonight, or oh no, that's not me, this is me, oh fuck, I got that one wrong. Like anyway, I'm rambling a bit here, but I think it's perfect. It's such a tight episode too. Like it's so, there's two like great diner scenes,
loved
great dialogue, like yeah, I don't know.
It's just so, it's so perfect, especially that we could go have that classic like Sex and the City cut to right after Charlotte's scene at the gynecologist. We can go right to the diner and go, your vagina's depressed.
Yeah.
It's just like, yes.
So good.
Chef's kiss.
Such an incredible button on the scene too. Miranda said something like, well, that's why your vagina's depressed. Yeah. You know, because she's
that's
like,
right.
You know, she's what she calls it, ugly or something. Like, I forget. I think that's the word. Beautiful. So it was like just how friends handle it. Like, that's a really like, that's a huge statement of like, oh man. And then the friend handles it just very like, you know, with a little bit of levity. I don't know. I just thought that was such a joy.
Yeah. They really kind of go after each other a little bit in this episode, but in such a natural, real way, you know, they poke fun. They know each other so well. So like Miranda can say whatever. I forget what Miranda said, but then she hit Carrie back with, you're a model, you know. And you're a model. Yeah. I forget what Carrie had said to her. Something about.
That's right.
She goes, you win guys over with your personality.
Which is hilarious slam. Like, that's what a perfect roasting of Miranda.
Yeah.
And.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Miranda, that scene with her not accepting it was even possible. And as I was watching it, and I remember thinking the same thing, she was like sweating and armpits and it was very hard to see her through his eyes. But I, especially now, I totally got it. I'm like, yeah, she seems super cool.
Totally.
She's like super
totally
cute.
Can relate to it. Yep.
She's in her moment. She's working her butt off. She's focused. Yep. He's like, oh, who's this chick? And she couldn't accept herself. Like, well, it can't be this easy. Like, he certainly can't be accepting me like this, you know?
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I feel like, And I think once you're in real relationships, like my husband always says, he loves seeing me at home in my cozies. Like, that's his favorite. Mm-hmm. And that's like hair and sweats, you know, because that's you're comfortable. You're in your skin. You're relaxed.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally agree with you. Yeah. It's so right on. Like, there's something so cute and sexy. Like, when my wife's in her PJs, you know, like with the hair and the glasses on, it's so beautiful. But when, like, these are the things maybe, you know, I don't know, until you sort of find it in yourself or have someone reinforce this thing, you're like, okay, I don't need to put on the show. I can accept who I am is like enough and wonderful. And, you know, but we all have to navigate those waters, right? until we find ourselves.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know. Yeah. In that place. Yeah.
And this for me also captures, like, everything we're talking about captures what I love about the MPK version of Sex and the City, especially because rewatching the pilot, I was reminded how much the origins of the show were really about looking for love and looking for men. And the friends were really just sort of like different people reflecting back Carrie's experience, their own experiences with men. It was not what it came to be in Michael Patrick's hands, which is like the real love stories between the friends.
True.
And this season, for season four, that's crystallized so beautifully. And in this episode, because like you're saying, good friends can rag on each other and tease each other, but they're also not going to let you. I mean, Deanna has experiences with me many times. Talk about yourself too disparagingly. They're not gonna let you get away with it. And that's how we kick off the whole first episode, the beginning of the episode. Stanford is like, I'd have to pay that guy, you know, I know what I look like. And she's like, you don't see what I see. Mm-hmm. And it's not just a line, it's like that's really how she sees her friend. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And also when Samantha shows up in sort of this pivotal moment in the fashion show where Carrie is sort of like, you gotta tell me the truth. Like, do I, you know? The subtext is like, do I look like an idiot? Is this too much? And she reinforces, she tells her the truth about who she is. She gets absolutely fucking smashing. Yeah. And she absolutely belongs out there. And that's also what friends do, is they show up at the right time. Yeah. Like they'll rag on you, but like when you really need it, they'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. And, you know, we also have Charlotte trying to set up Anthony and Stanford, like the well-intentioned straight friend. You know, the classic thing of like, you're both gay, you should date. But it's because Charlotte thinks that both of them are catches. Mm-hmm. And of course, the irony is that later on, even though they hate each other in this episode, they're going to get married, as we know.
Yeah.
you're both happily married now, obviously, but in your single days, did either of you have terrible experiences with setups?
Oh, Lord. I mean, I feel like I got set up after a bit. No one set me up in my 20s at all. It would have been nice. But in my early 30s, I feel like I was on a tear that was just rough and random.
Yeah.
And I was in New York at that time. And I was set up. I mean, it's what I was told. He's a millionaire, you know? And I was like, okay. I mean, and he's older. And I didn't know what to do with either of those things, to be honest.
Wow.
But we met for a drink and it was so wrong, you know, on every level. Mm. It just wasn't a fit. Setting people up.
Okay, you're being very kind.
No, I mean, it was so strange. It was like two of these things just don't make a lick of sense. You know, I don't even have the specifics of it. It just didn't do. Of course, as I'm walking up to the date before getting in there, I was like, can I try on millionaire? Like, is that, you know what I mean? Is that like a look that might work for me? And then I sat down. I was like, no, it will not. You know, it definitely, at least this one ain't working. She just had no business. He was fine, you know, but yeah,
you were the Anthony in that scenario. You were like, I got good arms and a high, tight ass, and I can do better. He does not look like Ed Harris.
In some ways, I think we were both the Anthony in that scenario. We both looked at our assets and we were like, these are going to be served better elsewhere.
That's funny.
Yeah.
By the way, was this, do we met Anthony in this episode?
That's what I was going to ask.
Yeah.
One time the previous season, I think.
Oh, okay.
But he's still a new character.
He's still right. I thought, I'm also in that scene because I shot that out in front of Brasserie 8.5 before we went inside, and it's like sleeting and they're just throwing extras in front of the handheld, which they're backing up down 57th Street. And, 15.
So this is when Anthony's on the phone with Charlotte. You're in the,
he's on the phone. He's got
there.
These, wow. Well, like, you know, you don't see him. I'm just like, I would be a blur if I even made it on. And I've watched enough times.
You can't find yourself. Sure, yeah.
No, I'm not in that one. But he's got those Bed Bath & Beyond bags and he's hustling down the street. I loved how that was shot. I even loved like the, you know, like his exit in that scene. You know, he says, that's hot. And it's like, he doesn't make a meal out of it. He's just like, he's on the go, you know, like he's been pitched the guy, the Ed Harris, you know, lookalike, and he's in, which I just think is so, anyway, I just love how that ended. It's really tight. It's like a very tight scene. He's just, you know, we've all been there in New York hustling. It's cold. You don't want to fucking be on the phone. Like you got somewhere, you got a subway, you got to get whatever. I just thought it was so, so well done. I also wanted to say, guys, like where the girls are in the arc of this series. This is season four, right? This is the second episode. Like first episode's back after a hiatus. I don't remember the first one. They're probably fine. That could even be great. But there's always like a getting back to work kind of thing that happens. Like maybe you're a little bit rusty, you know, maybe but like they know each other really well. They're the second episode in. They got a fucking great script.
Yeah.
They have a lot to do that episode. And I just loved how when we talk about how this was like such a classic episode, it really, really is. I just think everyone is just like on the top of their shit.
Yep. I agree. Yeah.
I couldn't help but notice that there's only one scene with Samantha and Carrie together. You know, I'm always looking at that relationship through a different lens now.
Wondering.
Can't not see that.
Backstage, right? In the fashion show.
There's only one group scene and with all four of them, and then there's the fashion show. So really two, but there's she's got more with the other ladies in this one than.
But that's I noticed this episode, and I have gone back, but I haven't done a full series watch recently. But I was like, oh, you know, Samantha really has a maternal role in this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's much, not something I think I was fully aware of watching it the first time
You're
around.
You're so right. Because that's who Carrie asks for specifically to come backstage and tell her the truth. And Samantha's the one who gasses her up to the point that now she's ready to walk out there strutting like she does in these shoes that are too tall. She's had some champagne. And then obviously she falls and becomes fashion roadkill.
She also does it in the scene with the in the cafe. Because when Charlotte hadn't looked at her vagina, she was like, here, just take a mirror, go check it out, you know, go to the bathroom. Right. That's all. It just felt maternal, older, you know?
Yeah, there's this wisdom. There's this wisdom, like, don't worry so much. It's easy. Just this, or like, I need to tell you in this moment, you got this. You're good.
Yeah.
You are, like, you belong here. Now go out and fucking kick some ass. Like, yeah.
You're so right. That's the other piece that we miss so much about Samantha. And just like that, it's not just like the sexiness and the comedy and all of that. It's that she did always have kind of maternal role in our quartet.
I wouldn't have thought of it, but yes, she did take, in her way, she was able to kind of take care of them, and I think especially Carrie.
Folks, sunnier days are a-coming. Summer's right around the corner. We're all on our wellness journeys, and I can think of no better way to kickstart your new healthy routine than with Factor Meals. And right now, if you go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use our code likematt50, you'll get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription's active. So with Factor Meals, there are 35 different meal options, more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, so you've always got new flavors to explore. You can make your day delicious from breakfast to dessert, everything in between. You'll stay fueled with easy, nutritious options. I'm talking filet mignon. I'm talking shrimp. I'm talking blackened salmon. And Factor Meals are ready in 2 minutes, so no shopping, no prepping, no cooking, no cleanup. Head to factormeals.com right now. Go to factormeals.com/likematt50 and use code likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code likematt50 at factormeals.com/likematt50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Yes.
Yeah.
So the moment when Carrie does come out on the runway and falls, and then Heidi Klum has to step over her, and we cut to a reaction shot of Stanford and the girls in the audience, and they're shocked. Right there in the front row is Teddy Sears gasping, doing some great acting work even then. What do you remember about that moment, Teddy?
It's way overacted. Oh my God. I mean, if you read my lips, I literally say, oh my God. Like, I really, and we watched it last night, and like, you know,
my God. Wife said,
no, like, your reaction's great. Like, Stanford, like, look at Stanford's reaction. Like,
but
he knows her. But they sat me. This was a big room. Everyone's wearing black. They sat me in the front row. And it just, the randomness of how it all worked out. She literally eats shit. Not literally eats shit. You know, she eats shit. Yeah. She takes a digger right in front of me. And so one thing I remember about that, I mentioned earlier, the music was really pumping. So the models had something to walk to. They starts out pumping, then they pull it back. So, you know, you can hear the dialogue of the girls in Stanford. And then what I remember specifically is between camera setups. It's a long day. This was the day I got my paycheck, and I was like, what? I think it was like $75 for 15 hours of work. And I was like, fuck this. I can't like live on this. Right. I remember $75. But between camera setups, SJP grabbed a seat right in front of us, right in front of me and the gal to my left. And she's like, couldn't have been more like, and by the way, I'm thinking, oh, this is normal. Like, number one on the call sheet sits down with the extras between camera setups and like shoots the shit. No, she sat down and she said, how's it going? Like, how's your day going? And
is she wearing that outfit? Like, is she in her underwear? Oh,
in the jeweled in the jeweled panties and the
oh my God.
And the blue, I mean,
and the bouffant. It's not a bouffant, but you know what I mean?
Like, she looked, her body was cool. It was really insane. I mean, like that, her, she looked so hot.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
And what everyone said is accurate. Couldn't have been friendlier and kinder. And I just, like, what I remember from the conversation was like talking about what we drink first thing in the morning. Like, and I remember saying something so stupid, like, which was true. I was like, oh, I like a glass of milk in the morning. Like, they're fucking talking about they have coffee or they have hot water and lemon or something. And I'm like, I drink a glass of milk. I'm 23-year-old Hayseed. What an idiot. Just got there. And like, I think she got up shortly after and walked away. It's funny. I do remember, I'm not going to take us out of this fashion show scene, but I do remember really quickly the end of her night at Brasserie 8.5. You know, there are the stairs that go up, and that street level is at the top of the stairs. And there was a small gathering of people. I mentioned it was like sleeting earlier. Like, the weather was shitty. It was definitely cold. There was a dozen people waiting for her to come out. And I remember looking up and seeing her. She exited that door. She talked to people. She took pictures with people. She was at the end of her day.
What a doll.
She put in the time. Yeah, yeah. So like, these sort of things that are modeled to, hey, pun intended, modeled to like young actors coming up
totally.
To watch these people at the top of their game, like sort of handle themselves. That lands. Mm-hmm. For me. So anyway, yes, she sat down and I remember being like, oh, that's really cool. But that's normal, right? Like, this happens. No, it very much does not happen. But that's what I remember. And I remember Ed Koch coming
Ed
out.
Koch,
I remember
King.
Yeah,
King
I remember Koch. Like the models coming out, and Heidi Klum, of course, was like statuesque, and that fashion roadkill moment was so you know, like Stanford said it, I don't know, a dozen times. He just tried it in different, and maybe it wasn't a dozen times, but he tried different reads of it when the camera was on him, and it was really it was funny. It was funny, and it was dead silent in the room. And by the way, you know, they shot when the camera was looking in our direction, you know, it's all of us and our heroes behind a couple of rows behind me. But then the entire rest of that runway, I think, was filled out with people too, for the most part, because there's a big like pan at the beginning. Because Margaret Cho's at like the far end of the runway when she's saying, "Carrie, go." So there, anyways, a lot of bodies. It was really hot. And I remember the first AD, I don't remember her name, was cracking the whip all day long.
Good.
To get the shot. She even said something. I remember this. She's like, okay, we're all going to have you gasp. And she's like, and nobody's going to get paid for this gasp. Oh. Okay. Like, even though you're extras and you're making a sound, like, I need to be clear. No one is getting paid for saying lines.
Expectations, you know, like you're going to gasp.
She was awesome.
And you ain't going to get
she was awesome. She
for it.
She kept a very, very tight ship. Yeah, yeah. That was really fun. And actually, over my shoulder, when I go back and look, there's a guy I became friends with who ended up having a really good career on One Life to Live. His name is John Paul Lavoisier. And he was an extra too. And I'm watching him back. I was like, that's fucking John Paul. Like, holy shit. So listen, we're all just in our early 20s, just trying to make a little bit of money, and found ourselves in the same show. So, you know, like, he and I did a play years later. Anyway, weird. Life's weird. But that's the New York actor community, man. Like, you're going to cross paths with other people and have these sort of stories to tell. Yeah.
So yeah. Fun. And then you're going to go on to become the kind of New York actor who's working so much that he's on Law and Order as two different characters.
You're
one of those.
Many, many years apart. But okay, hold on. I have a little bone to pick with the same actor many years apart thing. I mean, Sex and the City did it with Justin Theroux, right? But like, it was a little bit too close together when they used him. And then more recently, what's his name? Peter Herman played like the guy on the bicycle who runs over Carrie. And he's like the tech entrepreneur who can't keep, keep his mind on the project. But he also was in, remember when, you guys can tell me to shut up any second, but you guys remember when Charlotte and Harry break up and like Charlotte goes to a thing and everyone's trying to set her up and you should meet my David. And then, so she does meet this guy named David who is also played by Peter Herman. And he's, you know, he's very handsome. And he's like, so do you want to go back to my apartment and have sex? And she's like, no. He's like, okay. And he gets up and leaves. So like, they're doing a little double casting, guys. I don't know. Like,
I'm like, why not just make him the same character and we could have a little button where Charlotte sees a picture of him and she's like, oh, that guy tried to have sex with me. There's a couple other great ones. Like the guy that Seema dates, who's like the club owner in And Just Like That. He was in an episode where I think he worked at, he worked at some like fashion boutique in Sex and the City.
Oh, wow.
Rosemary what? DeWitt is in And Just Like That as Aiden's ex-wife,
right.
And she was one of Miranda's co-workers at the law firm in Sex and
the
City.
Oh, my God. Wow. Okay. So, yeah. All right. Well, then I stand That's back. Fun. These guys know what they're doing. It's fine. Yeah, it is fun.
And there's no reason that fashion show guy shouldn't come back in right. Just Like That. Well, it's a major arc.
Well, they had to
I did audition.
There. Yeah, they had to go through it in the writer's room and sort of figure it out. And they're like, we do feel he was a little too influential in that fashion show episode.
Oh,
like,
yeah, right, right. So instantly disqualified. Right.
Manage
right.
That.
Or handle.
We might break
thing.
The internet.
Yeah. They right. might just no, not geez, be able to handle just, it.
I mean, literally, no one would know any of this if I didn't stick my hand up and say, guys, talk to me. I was like, I was on that episode. But but I did. I auditioned for Peter Hermit's part, the guy who runs over Carrie. Yeah. I've tried. Yeah. I tried and you know.
You'll be back after this.
I'm sure it's only a matter of time.
Oh, sure.
I not to brag, did some extra work in my day. I was in an extra in a movie with Orlando Bloom and Kirsten Dunst. It was a Cameron Crowe movie.
Yes. Elizabethtown.
Elizabethtown. Right. Yeah. There's a big farmer's market sequence. I crossed the frame in that. Not a great shot of me. Tough. But I was also in, I remember being out to dinner with a friend. And this was at a time where I was like also like submitting myself for like weird things on Actors Access. And I didn't really pay attention to what they were. But I got a call. I went to the bathroom at dinner and I got a call that it was like, you've been hand selected to play this like key role in a Lindsay Lohan music video, but it shoots tomorrow. And I came back to the table and I was like, gotta go. Bye. Like, I'm starring in a Lindsay Lohan music video tomorrow.
Right.
And I get there, and of course, I'm a fucking extra in a sea of 100 people. God. And it was her music video for the Herbie the Love Bug, whatever her single was.
Yeah.
I didn't know she had a single. Okay.
Yeah. But Deanna Chang also did some extra work on another iconic New York fashion show.
It's like you guys are like, oh, I have these extra. I did this extra work. I'm barely in there. And like no one's the wiser, you know. Sadly, my extra work is the only thing people reach out to me and say, hey, I saw you in.
What?
I mean, it's very featured.
I was an extra in Gossip Girl. And I was playing with, I was just looking up her name. Margaret Collin is the actress. Wow. And
she played Blair's mom.
Yeah, Blair's mom. And I was the wedding planner. So I am sitting with her. We did a whole scene that was improvised. And then I did have to have someone come up and run. Like, she might have been the same gal who was cracking the whip on Sex and the City. And she was just like, you can't speak, you know, like you don't. We did a fully improvised scene and full lines, her and I back and forth. We had a blast. And she was like,
No.
like, you cannot do that. That's not for you. Crusher. That's not for you here and now. So,
but even with no lines, we see quite a bit of you.
My presence is felt. Okay. Yeah. I am working this, you know, I'm working that set. I'm up and down. I've got my clipboard. I'm coming in. I'm going out. I am the wedding planner. Like, there's no way around that. And is there an IMDb character credit? Absolutely not. But my presence is felt. And I'll have people that are like so far removed from my life. Probably, I would say about 4 or 5 times a year, someone will be like, did I see you in Gossip Girl? I'm like, you did. You really did.
You did.
That's where you saw me. Wish
you deserve the credit. Get the
credit. I would love it. Because when you're that impactful on a show, like, and your presence is really felt like that, you deserve at the very least a line on IMDb, you know?
100%. And you deserve a role in the reboot, which I guess the reboot's no longer with us.
right.
That's why, because if they would have brought back that wedding planner character, it might have had a different future. I also was just like, you know, the thing that everybody remembers is the pratfall and the like, oh my God, fashion row. Oh, and by the way, Sarah Jessica then said, the photographer keeps taking her picture and she goes, stop fucking taking my picture. Yeah. And I was like, have we ever heard Carrie say fuck before? Ooh. Like all the other girls are dropping F-bombs left and right, but I feel like Carrie very rarely says fuck.
I have to go, I mean, I trust you. I'd have to go like actually pay closer attention. But I believe you. Yeah, I believe you. I mean, Samantha's
just out of character
one,
for her.
Miranda's number two. Charlotte. Not a lot of F-bombs out of Charlotte though.
No. Yeah, but she'll do a surprise one every once in a while for laughs, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But I was, of course, like, I've seen this a million times, but then after the fall, she gets up, head held high, she's smiling, she's giving Heidi Klum the high five, and To Be Real is playing, and it's just like I'm crying,
and I'm tears, and I'm chills, and I'm clapping.
Yes.
And I'm crying and I'm clapping and I'm chills.
That's awesome.
It's just another perfect episode.
That was they nailed it. They nailed it. And the music, music's great. And by the way, I'm sure you've seen, the credits, she's strutting in her closet, and then she's in her boy tidy whities, and she closes the door and they roll the credits. Mm. Have you ever watched the whole thing all the way through? Because if you watch the credits all the way through at the way end, like they're at the end of the credits, she opens the door and she like pops her head out and she smiles and then she closes the door. It's a really cute, you wouldn't see it unless you watch the 3 minutes and you're like looking at, oh, what was the key grip's name? And we watched it. We've seen it a couple times now. And last night, I think this is the episode, right? And sure enough, she just kind of, it's really, really a cute thing. She just stood there for 3 minutes and I'm sure she's like, was told, all right, go or
pop back out
know.
There.
Pop back out there. I mean, I'm sure she knew that's where they were going to roll.
They
the
knew.
I thought that was a really cute little thing. Yeah.
They knew epic episode. Like we're going to give a little button.
It really, really, really. And I keep thinking about like when they're backstage and she doesn't want to do it. Like they build the tension really well, Then Stanford goes back and he's got the donut. Then he sends Samantha back and she doesn't want to wear the thing. And the guy's showing up with the pick. Like they built tension or NPK built tension so well. And then there's the payoff, of course, is when she gets up and slaps five and she sort of, straightens herself up and goes all the way to the end and smiles. It's like, it's a really great payoff, I think, as an audience. Like if you didn't notice it, the music is kind of tense in the background and she's not relaxed. And anyway, I just thought it's masterful. Totally a great episode.
And the voiceover, a lot of people say they miss the voiceover and Just Like That, but this is one of the times that I really missed it because it ties it all together so beautifully when she's like, my little act of bravery inspired bravery and my three friends. And then we get these quick pops of like Miranda confronts the guy at Crunch.
Yep.
Charlotte looks at her vagina finally in the mirror.
False.
I forget what Samantha does at the end.
Oh no, this is great. The delivery guy played by Adrian Martinez, who is in everything.
Yeah.
He gives her what she needs, which is like, you're fucking hot.
Yeah.
He loves it and she gives him an extra 20. I just think it's so
perfect.
His delivery is so great. He looks like such a little boy there too.
It's so low, the way his voice is so low and he just gets so it good. Out there. Nice ass.
With like this lecherous kind of undertones. It's so great. So great. So great.
And it's exactly what she needed to hear.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. Yeah.
Last question before I let you go. When Anthony asks Charlotte who would play Stanford in a movie, she says young Ed Harris, which blows up in her face. So I want to ask both of you who would play you in a movie. And you can't do a Jonah Melissa Rivers and cast yourself, even though you'd both be great. Deanna?
What's the movie about though? Like just our
It's the Teddy Sears story. Yeah. Oh, it's boy. His journey Very from boring. Being a scrappy extra on Sex and the City to a star of an NBC show, Oh, I mean that's a movie right there.
It's very boring. But I will say the guy who's always getting the tall, handsome, blonde haired roles, Alexander Skarsgård, please.
Excellent.
Let me go up. Let me turn the dial up. To that guy, he's
no
great.
that's good
great be, casting yeah. That's great,
and apparently he's like quite a nice fellow, so that matters. I don't know, it's what I've heard.
That's nice to hear. He seems he's so amazing. I would be intimidated by him, so I like to hear that. That's nice.
I am
intimidated by him. Yes, Deanna, I'm so curious.
God, I'm thinking of an actress that looks nothing like me, but I I'm spacing on her name, so I'm going to need some time with that. But looks wise, what I mean, the only Kira Sedgwick is coming to mind.
Oh, okay.
How do you feel awesome. About that?
Yes, yes, 100%.
I feel fabulous about that.
I don't know. I think they're both older. The other actress I'm thinking about, oh God, she's in like a million Woody Allen movies, and I just love her. She's in Radio Days.
Radio Days is great.
Mia
Farrow's in Radio Days. It's Teddy. It's not Mia Farrow. But
But Mia Farrow would be great too.
She'd be great. I'll put that in the episode notes. You know, I think she was in Radio Days. Maybe she
we'll
wasn't.
Record
even.
A whole new episode to just break this news.
Just right,
we're
right,
to the
right.
Of it.
Maybe she wasn't.
I mean, I'm also going to throw in a younger Lisa Kudrow.
I would like that.
You know,
that's great. That's no problem. Yeah. You know, that's probably the right answer at the end of the day.
Yeah.
Wow, great. Can I
great stuff all around.
Yeah, I feel like we hit all the major the one thing we didn't talk about, and we'll land the plane here, but we didn't talk at all about Pat Field or at all about the clothes. But like there's a couple scenes where Carrie is wearing like some dynamite like long sweaters. Mm-hmm. Like one is like an alpine scene on like she and she and Charlotte are walking along University. And I know it's University because there's a beautiful flower shop on the corner of like 12th and University. And then they're walking towards Washington Square Park. I spend a lot of time there. I'm like, that's a fucking flower shop. I always do that too with the show because I lived there from 2000, 2005. So the show's like a time capsule for me of like that era in New York. And so it's always fun to be like, where are they? Where are they walking? But yeah. And then she returns to her apartment, has another like, you know, long, beautiful, like multicolored, like awesome, 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 awesome. Anyway, my two cents about sweater season now that we're in it.
I did jot down need white jean jacket and gray t-shirt ASAP.
Right.
She was wearing that in the
with the aviators.
She wore it when her and Stanford were backstage for the model before she got in the. And I just was like, that is such a classic look. It looks amazing. And I wanted it. I just wanted it.
The holidays are upon us.
Yeah.
Black Friday, baby.
Yeah.
That's right.
Teddy Sears, Deanna Chang, thank you both so much.
Fun. Thank you. This was so much fun. Yeah.
And that's our show. Please do give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram at And Just Like Matt Pod. And Just Like Matt is a World of Wonder production created and hosted by me, Matt McConkie. Our executive producer is Renee Colvert. Our associate producer is Jess Walensky. And our audio engineer is Justin Mattson. Many thanks to Michael Pressman and everyone at World of Wonder.